Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 166, stanzas 1 through 4. Praise waits in Zion, Lord, for thee, and unto thee shall vows be paid, O thou that hearest those who cry to thee, by all shall prayer be made. 1 through 4 of Psalter 166. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, in the first chapter, beginning with verse 29 and through verse 51. John 1, verses 29 through 51. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, Where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-sufficient Lord of heaven and of earth, we come in this afternoon with our bodies. Oh, may it be also with our minds that they are not all over this world, but may it be above all with our heart, that we may draw nigh to thee with that need, and that is born of thy own spirit, and that will be answered by thee thyself. For Lord, thou art the prayer giving, and the prayer hearing, and the prayer answering God. And before any calling does come to us in a natural way in this world, then thou seest us where we are, and thou knowest each one that is thine, and whom that thou wilt call, with that irresistible, the effectual calling of thy Holy Spirit, that will open the eyes of a blind man, and that will raise him from the dead. Lord, there is not one of us that is not in need of that same thing, whether it is for the first time in our life or by renewal. And we are so dependent upon thee for everything. Lord, thou knowest what our hearts contain, because we are conceived and born in sin. We have heard it in this morning hour. It is thy own testimony, and it is that testimony which thou exhibitest in thy holy word, and a testimony which thou wilt give in the heart of all that are taught by thee. Lord, we cannot do without it. We need to be born again. Oh, we beseech thee in this afternoon hour that thou may come to us and unto our dear children, and that thou may raise us by that irresistible calling by which we will be drawn out
of the ways of sin, and that we will be drawn out of the way of following of this world. Oh, that thou may take thy hand, that thou may lay it upon us as thou didst of old unto thy servant Lot, when he was lingering in that city that was soon to be destroyed. And that thou may convince us, and that thou may convict us of sin, and that thou may set us on the outside of that city, and that we may be given by thy Spirit to begin to run. And Lord, thou knowest also what lieth in the heart of those in whom thou hast so worked, that they understand that there is their need, but they do not know where to go. And thou knowest the predicament in which they find themselves to be, without God in this world, and they do not know the right way. Lord, that thou may look upon them also in this afternoon hour, that it may please thee to draw them by thy Spirit, and to give a direction in that way in which they must go. That is such a mystery unto that people, when they have no eye to behold thee, nor that work in which thou hast completed the salvation of thy church. They stand, Lord, so on the outside of it, and they cannot bring themselves on the inside. But thou art able to open the eye of all those that are in distress, and that their blind eyes may be given a little light, to behold him in whom it is possible also for the chiefest of the sinners, that they may know that direction in which they need to run. Lord, that thou may show them that way, and that it may become for them a possibility in all their impossibility, and that thou would lead them upon that way, that is a way that for themselves will be so discouraging, when everything has to be taken away in which they have built all their hope and their expectation, and that foundation of sand upon which we all build by nature, that is lying in the deeds and in the righteousness and the works of man, in which all must perish. Then we have to stand before our judge. Lord, that is a way in which they must decrease, and therefore a way that is through the sea. But when thou wilt lead them on to know thee, then they shall be with from time to time given a little light in all their darkness, and they shall be relieved from time to time of that which they cannot put away of themselves, that wretchedness and that sin that lies within, in the hope that there is of forgiveness in thine only begotten Son. O Lord, is there not also a people in our midst, and that have a burden wherewith they walk over this world? Oh, that thou thyself may care for them, and that thou thyself may lead them in that only way that thou hast ordained, which shall be to their salvation, and to thy honor and thy glory. O keep thou us from a self-deceit, and that we may be led by thee, and that we may not walk upon our own pathway, and that leads to that eternal destruction. Be with all that are in need in this world. Thou knowest those that have no knowledge of that spiritual need, that are not taught out of thy holy gospel, out of thy holy word, that know nothing of thee and of thy law and of thy judgment, that know nothing of thy only begotten Son, even in an outward way. O Lord, we try in this afternoon to lay them also before thee, that thou may be pleased in thy mercy to send forth more servants into thy vineyard, that thy word may go forth over the length and the breadth of this whole world, also in places where men are ignorant thereof, but also in places where Satan attempts to deceive in the way of religion. Wilt thou instruct those who bring thy word in such a way that the way of deceit may be forsaken, that thou thyself may work in those who stand in the pulpits and who have never known thy truth. Lord, in one moment thou can convert them, and thou art able to give what is necessary that thy truth may be brought. Remember the mission field of our own denomination, and also of other denominations, and that thou may go with thy word, and that thou may strengthen all thy servants in their labors. Be with our rulers, those also that have been elected to serve on our behalf, O Lord, that thou thyself may give them a place at thy footstool. Restore thy word and truth in the midst of this land to its proper place. Put away the sin and that is practiced so openly and that is made legal. O, deal not with us as we so justly deserve, to bring down the judgments upon our own heads, but have dealings with us in thy mercy, and forsake us not utterly. Wilt thou be with all those that have distress and need in war-torn countries, places where there are famines, where there are disagreements in families, husbands, wives, where there are difficulties with children. Lord, be with each and every one in all the misery that is experienced in this life because of our own sin. And wilt thou supply in those needs, remember those that mourn. Also the family of one of thy servants in our sister denomination in the Netherlands, whom it has pleased thee to take out of the warfare in this life and to deliver, and that he may triumph over all sin, and that he may forever receive the desire and the wish of his heart, planted in him in that day of that new birth, that is to glorify and to magnify thee in perfection. O Lord, strengthen all that are left behind, and remember us also in our own denominations, that thy word may be brought by thy servants, and that the number of thy servants called and thrust forth in truth by thee may increase, that thou would also lead further in that way of thy truth, that it may be brought according to thy word, to the meaning of thy Holy Spirit. Go thou with us in this afternoon hour. Oh, be on our right and on our left hand, and give us a little opening, Lord, and that we may receive a little freedom and liberty, and that there may it be a cry on our behalf in our midst, and also a cry for the need of our souls together, that thy blessing may rest upon the instruction of our forefathers, and that we may receive the benefit, in thy name the glory. Forgive our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 193, stanzas 1 through 6. O God, to thy anointed King, give truth and righteousness, and thy people he will justly judge, and give the poor redress. The last collection today is for the building fund, and we make an announcement that the Reformation Day service this coming Friday, the Lord willing, is to be held at 7:30, not 7 o'clock, as it was announced in the bulletin. Psalter 193, stanzas 1 through 6. Have mercy upon me, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Who was the congregation? That was the cry of a woman of Canaan. What a way that woman had. She cried after deliverance. She cried out of a great need. Her daughter, vexed with a devil. And then, silence. He answered her, we read, not a word. And thus we hear it again, that silence. What a way. And in that way, the Lord instructing this woman. And so we hear the difficult way that she has to go. And yet she keeps crying. She doesn't let up. The disciples send her away. The Lord Jesus, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What a way. And that woman, she continues to cry. And what has she to hear? Yet again, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. Is it not a wonder that that woman still cries? And why? Because there is no other way for her. It is for her a need whereof she cannot let go. And where will the Lord bring her? The Lord will bring her in that place that it is so necessary for her and all his children to come. Where does he desire to bring her? He desires to bring her that she may fall on the side of the Lord. May we ever be brought there. Truth, Lord, I am a dog. And when we may be brought in that place, and then deliverance is not far away. So that woman may experience. And this is now also what we have been considering together. We heard something last time. How that a man is brought to agree with that righteous punishment. Since then we deserve. That is a punishment that is for this life and for a life to come. And then that honest question. Lord, let me know the truth. If it is really impossible, is there then no way? And then we hear as it was in the life of that woman. Do you understand it, young people? Our instructors do not make this up. This is not something, an invention out of their own heart. No, this comes directly out of the Word of God. God will have his justice satisfied, and we cannot make that satisfaction. We daily increase our debt. That is a difficult way. And yet, that inquirer does not give up. He cannot give up because it is the Lord who has placed a need in his soul. What sort of mediator and deliverer must we then seek for one who is very man and perfectly righteous and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who is also very God? And so we have heard that in this answer, our inquirer reads, he hears an opening, that there is hope for him in this answer, because this answer that is speaking about a possibility that justice of God would indeed be satisfied. And therefore, our inquirer is searching now more diligently into this possibility. This he does in our Lord's Day for consideration in this afternoon, Lord's Day 6, questions 16 through 19. Question 16. Why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? Answer. Because the justice of God requires that the same human nature with us which hath sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin, and one who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. Question 17, why must he in one person be also very God? Answer, that he might, by the power of his Godhead, sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath, and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. Question 18. Who then is that mediator who is in one person both very God and real righteous man? Answer, our Lord Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Question 19, whence knowest thou this? Answer, from the Holy Gospel, which God himself first revealed in paradise and afterwards published by the patriarchs and prophets, and represented by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law, and lastly has fulfilled it by his only begotten Son. So far, our Lord's Day, the only mediator made known. First, what is made known? Second, who is made known? Third, how he is made known. The only mediator made known. First, what is made known? Second, who is made known? And third, how he is made known. Congregation, our Lord's Day in this afternoon speaks of a mediator. And we have all in a very dutiful way come up in this afternoon to the house of God. And that is, young people, such a very important thing that your parents are instructing you that when the doors of God's house do go open, that we are present in that house of God. Be heard, that is the place, and among whom the Lord is going to work, that is his own promise. And yet, is there any need in your heart in this afternoon? Because our instructors are going to bring before us and what God's word instructs us concerning a mediator. Thus, is there any need, is there any room in this afternoon in our heart for a mediator. A mediator. Oh, if there is room, if there is place in our heart for a mediator, then certainly something has gone before. Because a mediator is one who makes it well. He makes it well between two of whom it is not well. And thus, when we need a mediator, that means there is something, congregation, that is not well. And that may be here in this world that we may need a mediator by times. But is there now another need? Is there a people who feel something of a separation between God and your soul? Of the wrath of God upon your own sin? Of your inability to be reconciled unto Him, to return again into His favor, into His communion? Of the mountain of guilt? And that you are not able to overcome? Oh, that you are not able to overbridge that great gulf that you need one to stand between. Is there any need? Is there any room in our heart for the proclamation here in our own place of worship for a mediator? Oh, how great is that need? And that is stirred up in the heart of that church for such a mediator. That becomes that one thing needful in their life. That love that the Lord places in the heart of His people. For the Lord in that day of regeneration is not a love that exists in isolation. When we think, for example, of those that came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and when He was here upon this world, then they came in their need. Husbands and wives, when it is right between us, then there is a love for one another. That is a love wherewith we not only desire to receive, but that we also desire to give. How do you think that was, boys and girls, in the heart of the lepers and in the heart of the blind Bartimaeus and in the heart of those that were deaf and dumb? How do you think that was in their heart when they came to the Lord Jesus in this world? You say they had a great need. And they were drawn to come to seek for relief from the Lord Jesus. They had heard of His great power, of His might. They had heard of His mercy, and that He was so willing. And they came in their need. Congregation, so that is so often in the life of the people. That in the beginning, that they are coming, that they are drawing nigh unto God in their need. You say that is a selfish thing. That is that they had not a love for the Lord necessarily, but they come with one thing in their view, in their mind, and that is that I may be cured. The Lord makes it different in the life of His people, but that is not in the beginning. That is the further teaching of that Holy Spirit And so often when the Lord is beginning, then that people, they are drawing nigh unto God because of their own need. That is a blessing. That is what the Lord is placing in their heart. And it is a blessing if we only may feel something of the need of our soul as we are traveling to that great eternity that we don't have by nature. Thus, that need that is placed within the heart by the Lord Himself. And yet, when the Lord will lead that people from step to step, then the Lord, He is going to be also instructing that people in something else. And that is that they have not only a need concerning their own soul, but that that love unto God that is growing, so that they begin to see something of His blessed attributes, and that they begin to see more and more of His beauty, of His preciousness as God, and that they begin to love Him not only in His mercy, but that they begin to love also that justice. Because God cannot be God if He is not righteous, if He is not just in His judgments. And so it is the further instruction of that Spirit of the Lord that is giving that people a love for those attributes of the Lord. A desire that His name would be honored, that His name would be magnified, that His name would be glorified. Or do they still not have that need concerning their own heart? Oh, they do. This does not go away. But there is a people that the Lord is bringing to fall on the side of the Lord. That is, that they have a desire to be saved, yes, but not in a way wherein those attributes of God would not be glorified. That they have no desire that the Lord would step over His justice, that the Lord would, as it were in our language, to make an exception in order that I would not have to go lost. No, then rather that those blessed attributes of God may receive their full honor and their full glory. And thus this inquirer is inquiring, he is interested to know now what is necessary in order that those attributes of God Himself may still be honored, may still be glorified. Why must He be very man and also perfectly righteous? Because the justice of God requires that the same human nature which hath sinned should likewise make satisfaction for sin, and one who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. Thus, why must He be very man and also perfectly righteous? Oh, how is it that that righteousness of God that can still be glorified in the salvation of a person, The angels cannot be our mediators because they cannot suffer for and pay for that sin of mankind, just like the blood of bulls and goats are not able to pay for that sin of man. No, not all of those animals' children that have been slain in the Old Testament time. Read that in the time of Solomon, how many thousands of animals, their blood that was poured out on this earth. And not one of them was able to satisfy for that sin of man. No man, he has sinned in body and in soul. And those animals, they have no soul. And the angels, they have no soul. They also have no body. What does the Lord say? He says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. O congregation, did we ever become accountable for our own sin? That we say, because of my own sin, it is necessary that I should pay that price. If the Lord will accept the work of a surety in the place of a man, then it will have to be one who is in his own nature. It was to man that the Lord had said, in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. And it is man himself that will have to pay that price. Where is the comfort when all those animals were slain? The apostle writes how that the conscience of man that was not put at ease because of the blood of bulls and of goats. That is impossible to receive any relief from all of those slayings. Why must he be very man and also perfectly righteous? One who is himself a sinner cannot satisfy for others. What does that mean? To be righteous. Oh, we have heard it. To be righteous, that means to be right with God. That means to be right with the law. Why must he be also perfectly righteous? That means that he has to be without sin. What did those lambs have to be, children, in the Old Testament who were a picture of the Lord Jesus? They had to be perfect. They had to be without blemish. If any one of them had a blemish in him, then he was not allowed to be a representative of that Lamb of God. No, that was a picture for the children of Israel in that Old Testament shadow of the necessity that that Lamb of God, he should be perfectly righteous. And now that high priest, he was also a picture of that great high priest. Therefore, what had first to be done by him before that he could offer for the sin of the people, then he first had to be righteous himself. And how did he become righteous? He was not righteous. But that means he first had to offer for himself. And when he had offered for himself and the Lord had made him in that offering of that antitype now a righteous man, a righteous high priest, now he may be a picture of that great high priest who was to come. Thus a clear picture unto our forefathers of what we read here in our catechism. Thus a sinner, he would first have to pay for his own sin before that he could satisfy for someone else. But how is this possible? No, we hope to see that further on, how that this is impossible. Thus, he must be very man, but he must also be perfectly righteous. Why? Well, we hope to hear also that he must be also very God. And if he must be very God, and at the same time very man, then these two must be united into one person. Well, if that man is not perfectly righteous, how can he be brought into such a close union with God himself in one person? Thus, he must be righteous, very righteous, completely right with that law, in order to be God and to be man at the same time in one person. He also will be the mediator, and therefore he must needs draw nigh unto God. Congregation, did you ever feel what is necessary to draw nigh unto God? Children of Israel felt it. And that is a picture of what the Lord gives that newborn church to feel when they are brought out of Egypt and they are brought before the face of God on Sinai. Then they feel something of that need to be perfectly righteous in order to stand before our judge. Why? Because he is a consuming fire. Thus, when there is only one sin, then that wrath of God must be poured out upon man. God is so holy. And therefore, that mediator must be perfectly righteous in order that on behalf of his people, he may draw nigh unto that holy and that righteous God. Very man and also perfectly righteous. And yet it is still not enough. That mediator must be more, what we read here also, very God. Why must he in one person be also very God? That he might by the power of his Godhead sustain in his human nature the burden of God's wrath and might obtain for and restore to us righteousness and life. We heard something last Lord's Day, what man deserves because of his sin, that is the wrath of God. How many congregation will bear that wrath of God to all eternity? Who can comprehend our finite mind that is so insignificant and unable to comprehend what that shall be? Why is it, young people? Why is it? Because when we come to a judge in this world, then that judge, when he is a righteous judge, then he will punish a man. He will sentence him with a punishment that is fitting to his crime. Why is it
that a man in this world who has sinned against God, he must be punished to all eternity. That is, that he should never, ever come out of that punishment. Is that then a punishment that is fitting for that crime of man, that sin against God? That it is. Now we ask you, why? Why is it so? It is. And we have such a little understanding. But it is because God is an infinite God. And when we sin against an infinite God, then our punishment also must be an infinite punishment. Thus, it is because of the character of him against whom that we sin, that that punishment must be everlasting. We know that infinite can be in a number of ways. We can be infinite in knowledge. That is, to be omniscient, to know everything. We can be infinite in power. That is, to be omnipotent, to be all-powerful. We can be infinite in space. That is, to be omnipresent. Present everywhere. God is infinite in his being. God is infinite in his essence. Man is a finite creature, and the only way that man can pay an infinite price is to be infinite in the length of time. And what is that? That is eternal. Thus, that is the only way that man is able to pay an infinite price, when he will pay everlastingly. But what is now the difficulty? What does that mean? That means in itself that that price is never paid. That means in itself that man can never come out of it. Thus, when there will be a mediator who will pay that infinite price of the sin of man, then he needs to come out of it. He needs to finish it. Thus, it cannot be to all eternity that he pays, otherwise it is never paid. Therefore, he must be infinite in some other way. And this is now the reason that that mediator who must pay that sin for that sin of man against that infinite God, he must himself bring something of that infinity to the value of his sacrifice, that he may be able to pay that price in a short period of time.
And for this reason, that mediator must be very God himself. Then he brings with him to that sacrifice a value, and that is acceptable to that infinite God against whom you and I have sinned. Therefore, he must be not only very man, and he must not only be so perfectly righteous, but that mediator must be very God himself. Congregation, you say, how is that now possible? Is that not a wonder that the Lord has provided such a mediator? Because outside of that wisdom and that knowledge of God that is past finding out for you and for me, it would have been impossible. And yet the Lord, he has brought about in his wisdom, in his love, in his goodness, in his long suffering, in his mercy, in the upholding of his justice and of his own righteousness, he has brought about such a mediator. Or now is it in your heart that you say, who is this mediator? Not to know him alone with your mind, but that this mediator may be revealed to your heart. Let us sing. Psalter 427, stanzas 5 and 7. The stone the builders had rejected, and in contempt refused to own, to their dismay has been selected to be the foremost cornerstone. This thing is from the Lord Almighty. It is a marvel in our eyes. Man cannot understand it rightly, nor fathom it in anywise. 5 and 7 of Psalter 427. Congregation, we have kept you so long this morning, and now we have run already to the time. And therefore, we are going to leave the rest of it for next time. And we wish to close with a few words of application. There is a difference. We hope you may feel that in our catechism instruction, as our instructors have led us from that first Lord's Day to the present Lord's Day. Because we could feel something in the beginning of the need that is laid in the heart of the people. That is, that need for reconciliation. That is a different, there is a further desire, there is a further need that is worked in the heart of this inquirer. Does that first need go away? No, it is that first need that is drawing, that is driving to this need. God will be exalted to all eternity as a triune God. And every one of those persons of that blessed Trinity that people will become acquainted with. When that love to God is born in that new life, there are no distinctions between the persons of that Trinity, and there is not even a distinction between that triune God and Christ as he is the mediator in his church. Thus, in the beginning of that life, then there is a need and a love for that God who is our creator, who is our maker. And then we have no knowledge nor desire for a mediator. We do not yet know that we need a mediator, and the pride of our heart has not been so broken down yet so that we will receive everything through a mediator. Thus it is that love to that maker, that creator whom we have left in our father Adam, that is drawing this inquirer from step to step, as we have heard it from Lord's Day to Lord's Day and from question to question. All do we know, therefore, in the first place, what the Spirit is planting in the heart of the people, that is a love and a desire for our Maker. It is not Christ, but it is that triune God whom we have left in paradise. And now we see, by the operation of the Holy Spirit, how that the Lord is leading that people further, that they may be inquiring not only after that triune God, no, but for that purpose, to be reconciled unto him, that he brings them also to begin to inquire after a mediator. Thus, there is a new desire, there is a new need that is felt in the life of that people. And this is so necessary in order and that we may come to love
not only the triune God, but also person by person, each of the persons of that Holy Trinity, and in their offices. And then we speak here in a special way about the Lord Jesus Christ in his office of a mediator. Always, young people, always remember this, that when the Lord will come in the life of his people, it will be in answer to a need. Always. Because that is the only way that the Lord receives the glory. And that is the reason that we fear that so much of that speaking of that name of the Lord Jesus Christ in such a light way in this world misses the foundation. And we hope that you are not jealous of such a way. We must ask the Lord to be uncovered, that we may receive in the first place a need, a desire, a love for our Maker, that the Lord may lead us step by step in that painful way wherein he will take away and strip us of our own righteousness on which we build a sandy foundation for that great day of days, that it may be so completely stripped away before that great rain and that storm does come, in order that we may be founded and grounded upon that one solid rock, that need may be felt for that blessed mediator, and that we may be, it may come by the Spirit's work, to place all our hope and all our expectation, or to cast all our burden completely upon him, that he may take it up for us. Oh, then it will be so well. Why? Because of the satisfaction of that of God the Father, of his justice, because of that blessed mediator. Because he was very man and able to stand in the place of that wretched sinner. Because he is very righteous man, and he was pleasing in the sight of his Father, and because he is very God. And so, able to pay that infinite price that was due for our sin against an infinite God. What a salvation, worked out already in eternity before the foundation of the world and before you and I were born. A salvation, a gospel, news, good news that we may hear out of that word of God, because it pleaseth the Lord, that in the way of his providence to bring us and our children under the preaching of his holy word. Oh, that it may never testify against us in that great day of days. But that fact that we have been baptized, that it may urge us unto that throne of grace, that we also now may receive those blessings that flow out of that precious mediator. Oh, that he may be made precious in the eyes of each and every one of us and our dear children. Congregation, ask the Lord. That is what we have seen from that first Lord's Day up until this question. Ask the Lord to make room for him.
then when he is revealed in your life, then he shall be the answer to your great need. And then the Lord will be glorified and your soul saved. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we can but stammer. We are so ignorant. But Lord, thou art so holy. Thou art so wise. And thou hast worked everything out in all thy wisdom, that it may not testify against us. What a mediator that thou hast sent into this world to pay that infinite price. And we may hear of his name, that there may also be a need for him worked in the heart of us and of our dear children. And that we may not stand on the outside of that door on that great day of days. Forgive thou our many sins. Bless thy word of this day. Bring us safely to our homes. Help us in the week to come. Also, when we hope to be together in this week around thy holy word again, give us the unction of thy spirit and a little light to know what and how to preach, and that there may be room to receive thy word. Help each one of us in our calling and in our place in this world. We have here to live, Lord, because here thou hast given us a place for a little time. But that world, that it may not dwell in our hearts, but that we may have our expectation above, and that so we may despise the world, and that we may use it and not abuse it, and that so our souls may be saved. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that was sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 124, 1, 2, 7, and 9. My heart doth overflow. A goodly theme is mine. My eager tongue with joyful song doth praise the King divine. 1, 2, 7, and 9 of Psalter 124. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.